Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Barkham Church. It's lovely to see you. Thanks so much for coming to join us. We're basically a full church this morning. In normal times, we're nowhere near full, but we are filled to capacity with our current COVID capacity. So it's great to see that. Welcome to everybody who's listening in live online at the moment, or perhaps catching up with a recording later. It's good to have you with us as well. My name is David Horrocks. I work for the church here alongside Julian, our vicar. I'm going to lead us through our time together this morning. We're continuing a little series we began in Genesis, the book of Genesis, the opening book of the Bible last week, Genesis chapters 1 to 3. And Julian will be preaching on the next section in our service today. Let me just remind you of the COVID rules, just in case you're not aware of them or you've forgotten them. So to keep everyone as safe as possible, please stay in your seats until you're given the nod to leave by Michael and Rose at the end. If there's a really urgent reason why you need to move, that's absolutely fine. We completely understand. Do keep face coverings on, unless you're exempt from having to wear one, or up here behind this Perspex screen that I'm behind. Please don't forget, no singing. We're not allowed to sing. Do feel free to hum away behind your mask. We've got a couple of great songs this morning, but no singing. And we do have access to a toilet in the village hall, just across the car park, the disabled toilet, which is the one straight through the door, immediately on the right-hand side. And we've got the key to the village hall at the back. Michael and Rose can pass that to you if that's something that you need. Well, we finally got to half term. It's half term this week, isn't it? Hands up if you're looking forward to half term. Anyone looking forward to half term? Quite a few. Yeah. Children, parents and teachers all putting their hands up right now. Looking forward to that. It's not going to be the half term that we'd expected, perhaps. It's going to be very different, but there are lots of good things that we can be doing. Hands up if you're looking forward to lying in bed a bit longer in the mornings during half term. Yep. What about looking forward to playing in the garden loads over half term? Hugo, good man. Absolutely, yeah, getting the fresh air. Reading a good book? Anyone looking forward to reading some good books over half term? Watching TV? Going to bed later? Loads of good things we can look forward to, aren't there? Loads of good things we can thank God for as we look forward to this week ahead. There are so many reasons we have to praise him. And this first song that we're going to listen to now gives us loads more reasons that we have to praise him. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, it begins. And then every verse lists more reasons to praise him. As we listen to this now, why not see if you can spot at least one good reason to praise God in every verse of this wonderful opening hymn. Let's listen to it now.
Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing.
Angels help us through.
you got on, did you manage to spot some more reasons to praise God from that great hymn? Just have a look at verse 1 again of the hymn. It gives us loads right in the opening lines. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise should sing? There's some reasons to praise him. He's a God who ransoms people like us. He pays a great price in his Son to set us free. He heals us. He restores us. He forgives us our sins. That's one of the most wonderful things about him, isn't he? He's a God who's willing to forgive us our sins. He sent Jesus to make that possible. In Ephesians 1, we read, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, his undeserved kindness to people like us. And that's a great thing to remember, isn't it, as we come to pray this prayer of confession together now, as we confess our sins, say sorry, ask for his forgiveness. He's a God who loves to do that as we turn to him. So let's pray this prayer of confession together now. We say, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to change what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Let's continue in prayer just for a moment. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that in the Lord Jesus we have forgiveness of sins because you've been so kind to us in him. We praise you in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in this little series in the beginning of the book of Genesis at the moment, thinking about God creating the world. When you think about creation, what are the things that most blow your mind when you think about it? It might be some of the things we thought about last week from the beginning of Genesis chapter 1, just how powerful God is creating stuff with just a word out of nothing. It might be being blown away by how wise he is, just how skillful he is as he creates this wonderful world. Or it might be that like David, the author of Psalm 8, this psalm that we're about to say together, the thing we just can't get our heads around is that in all this great creation, God cares so much about people like you and me. As we're going to hear this morning, in our sermon this morning, he gives us such a key part to play in his plan. David couldn't believe it. And he expressed it in this wonderful psalm, Psalm 8. So we're going to stand together now and say Psalm 8 together. We can't sing together, but we are allowed to speak together. So let's stand, everyone up on our feet. It's a good chance, get the blood flowing, get warm again. And let's say Psalm 8 together. So we say, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Do grab a seat. We're going to pray together now, and Rich is going to come and lead us as we do that. I'm going to lead us in three prayers this morning for us to be growing through encouragement, for parents and teachers, and for our mission partners, Alan and Debbie Burt. Let's pray. Father God, as we pray, we remember the following verses from Jeremiah in the Old Testament and from the book of Hebrews. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. And from Hebrews, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We pray for us as a church to grow in the way we encourage each other at this time. We pray you would help us to best use our brief conversations at church and time spent online to encourage each other towards love and good deeds. We pray that this week we may find opportunities to share with others the situations we face and to give and receive encouragements that take us forward in our walk with you. We pray we would be open to your voice this week and that we do reach out to each other, making the most of opportunities of being your body, the church. Please continue to place your will on our hearts so that we keep you and your people in mind through these busy and challenging times. We also particularly remember this week Samuel Vanderbroek and Melinda getting married on Saturday, and we pray that you will be with them as they make these big promises, Lord, this week. We pray for parents and teachers during half term. We pray for teachers in the congregation here and in local schools to get good rest this week. We thank you for the work they do and pray that you will sustain them through the second half of the term. We particularly remember the Coombs School in this and pray that they would be blessed by the video assemblies provided by the church in the second half of this term. We also pray for parents to be sustained at this time after a challenging half term for many. We pray that you would be honoured in our families this week, that parents and children would have the energy and get the rest that they need. We ask for the gentleness, patience and self-control that comes from you to be evident this week, as well as the joy that we have in knowing you. Finally, we pray for our mission partners, Alan and Debbie Burt. Alan and Debbie Burt serve in Heideveld, Cape Town in South Africa, where Alan is now rector of St. Thomas's Church. Debbie was formerly a director of Arise, a project for vulnerable children supported by St. Thomas's Church. We give thanks for God's protection for their congregation during the second wave of the virus. Several members have been in hospital, but are all recovering at the moment. And Arise has reopened for the year. Looking back over 2020, they are very thankful to have been able to do as much as they did. And they begin this year with a new social worker on their team. Cindy Van Andel is a local Christian woman and very qualified. Arise is thankful to be able to employ her to strengthen their work. And we join them in praying for the decline in the rate of infection, for people to still take necessary precautions, and for the government to be able to procure and roll out vaccines as quickly as possible. We pray for the children and youth, that they would continue to learn to love Jesus and that their parents would encourage them and enable them to take part in the WhatsApp programs that St. Thomas are able to offer. We also pray for Arise to work well together as a team this year and to be able to begin their programmes effectively despite the ongoing pandemic and uncertainty. We pray all of these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in a moment we'll turn to God's word. Angela will come and bring the reading and Julian will come and preach. But first we have an opportunity to declare our confidence in, our faith in the God who is Father, Son and Holy Spirit. In the words of the creed there at the top of page 3 of the service sheet. Again, I'm going to invite everybody, let's all stand. And if you're trusting this God, your confidence is in him. Do join me in declaring that now. Let's stand and let's say this creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. We'll turn to God's word now as Angela comes and reads.
The reading is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Well, do please keep that passage in front of you, and let's pray for God's help. Our Father, as we look at these verses in your word today, we pray you would still our hearts. We pray we would listen to your voice. We pray that we would trust your goodness. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin, you might just look across the page at the psalm and the question in verse 4 there. It says, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them?" What is mankind? That's the question that we are focusing on today. It's a question that very quickly leads to other questions. Where do we come from? Where do we fit into the world? Why are we here? What is our purpose? And what gives us value? They're vital questions because the way we answer them affects us not only personally, they affect our ambitions and our priorities and our view of ourselves. It also shapes our society, how we treat one another. But where do we find answers to those questions? The natural sciences, of course, can tell us a huge amount about our physical bodies in every detail, and the social sciences can explore our behaviour in various ways. But whilst the sciences are very good at answering the how questions, how things work, they are unable to answer the bigger why questions that we ask. Why are we here? Why do we matter? And to answer those, we're turning once again to these opening chapters of the Bible. And there we find not only answers to those questions, but answers that make sense of our experience of life, and answers that can help us to navigate some of the most difficult questions that we have to face. What is mankind? Well, these verses from Genesis 1 give us three vital answers. We are created by God. We are created in God's image. We are created male and female. We'll look at them in turn. First, we are created by God. You can't read Genesis 1 and miss that fundamental point, can you? It's clear in the grand sweep of the chapter from the headline in verse 1, where we're told that God created the heavens and the earth, implying everything in between, everything there is, but also in the way that it's unpacked throughout that highly structured chapter. We're not presented with a scientific account, but a very structured declaration that God made everything by the power of his word. You've got days 1, 2, and 3, God forming the universe, light and darkness, sky and sea, land, and then days 4, 5, and 6, filling it, sun, moon, and stars, birds and fish, all animals. And we fit into that structure. We're part of day 6. We're part of God's creation. And that's the first thing we've got to get clear on. David mentioned this last week. We mustn't think too much of ourselves and live as though we are at the center of everything. The Bible tells us that there are two kinds of things in the whole of reality. There's God and his creation. There's the uncreated creator, and then there's everything that he's made. And it's vital that we understand that we are firmly on this side. Now, it's true that mankind occupies a very special place in creation. We'll come to that. But notice how even the verse which tells us about our special place, verse 27, underlines the fundamental point. Verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Three times, we're told, we're created by God along with everything else. So that should be a check on all of our pride, because it means that we are completely dependent on God. As the Apostle Paul says, when he's preaching in Athens, he says, God himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. Well, if that is true, then we just can't think too much of ourselves. Now, how foolish it is to live as though we were in charge of our lives. I think that's been a real lesson of this last year, hasn't it? How many times have we heard politicians say, we'll get this virus under control, or we'll bring this virus to heal? I mean, it's just madness, isn't it? Arrogance. And yet the same attitude can be found in all of our hearts, acting like we have the authority to shape our future or the future of our children. When we take the glory for the things we accomplish, when we get resentful because things don't go our way, as though things always should go our way. It's foolish and ungrateful and in fact outrageous to live in God's world as God's creatures, as though everything should revolve around us. Now, when we act like that, think like that, we're missing this fundamental truth. We are created by God and we are to live for his glory. And yet, although this point should make us keep us humble, it also gives us meaning. And what I mean is that the fact we're created by God means we're not accidents, by which I mean the reason that we are here is not simply a product of chance, which is a very popular view today. The popular science writer Stephen Jay Gould said that we, Homo sapiens, are a tiny twig on an improbable branch of a contingent limb on a fortunate tree. Well, if that is true, there is no meaning to our lives. As Richard Dawkins has said, there's no purpose, and to ask what it is a silly question. And if we're purely a product of time and chance, he's right. But what a bleak view of life that is. Because it means that behind us, behind everything, nothing matters and no one cares. But the Bible tells us wonderfully different. It says, no, we're created by a loving God. And we pick that up even in the way that creation's described. When God makes the sun, moon, and stars, we're told he does that to give us light and to mark the days and years and seasons. He gives us a clock and a torch and a calendar. He gives us plants and trees that bear seeds and fruit, we're told, to provide us with food. Don't worry, meat follows later, chapter 9. But he's not just making a world. He's making a home for us. We're created by a loving God. And so it's right for us to live with a deep sense of thankfulness for everything that he provides for us. We need to know our place. We're created beings, but we're created by a loving God. First, we're created by God. Second, we're created in God's image. Day 6 follows the same pattern as previous days. God makes every kind of animal to fill the land that he formed on day 3. But then things go on. Verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Just as 3 times we're told we're created, 3 times in his image. So although we're part of creation, we're not like everything else. We're like God. We reflect God like no other creature. Now, in what sense are we made in God's image? People suggest all kinds of things, the fact that we are creative or moral or rational, for example. There's truth in all of those. But just see what's emphasized, verse 26. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over creation. See the same in verse 28. God says, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea, and so on. So just as God rules over his creation, he also establishes us as his royal representatives in the world. We're to rule over the world under his authority. Now, some people hear this language of ruling the world and blame it for the way that we so often exploited the world or plundered its resources without restraint. They say this view of mankind as rulers is responsible for the kind of environmental crisis that we face today. But that is just to ignore what Genesis 1 says. If we bear God's image, then we will rule as he does. God creates a good world, and he blesses creation. So if we rule in his name, we'll do so not in a way that destroys the world. In Genesis 2, God puts the man in the Garden of Eden. We're told he's put there to work it and take care of it. Sustainable development, you might say. Being made in God's image means we're to rule under his rule in a way that blesses others and brings glory to him. And that should be true of everything that we undertake in his world. And being made in God's image also means something else. It means we have great value and great dignity. It should profoundly affect the way that we see one another. Because here's the point. Every person you ever see and ever meet has been made in the image of God and is therefore infinitely valuable. Every person you ever see, made in the image of God and therefore infinitely valuable. Now that includes the person you see in the mirror. You know, some of us don't like what we see when we look at ourselves, and we have a low opinion of ourselves. But no, we can look at ourselves and say, you are made in God's image, which should affect how we think of ourselves. And that is true, actually, no matter how badly we may have been treated in life. You know, when people are treated badly, often they can feel very worthless. But our value as God's image bearers doesn't change. So it's a bit like this. I've got this £10 note here. £10 note, what's it worth? £10. If I scrunch it up in my hand, what's it worth? £10. If I chuck it on the floor and kind of trample it under my feet, what's it worth? It's still worth £10. For us, for anyone, even if very badly treated by people, by life, we have that great value made in God's image. And of course, that should affect how we treat other people. These verses should spell the end of all racism. That's, of course, been a very hot topic this past year, hasn't it? There's a new determination to say there's no place for racism. But the only solid foundation for that is here. The fact that people truly are equal, all made in God's image. Black Lives Matter cannot stand without Genesis 1. It should disqualify all sexism too. That point is underlined in verse 27. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So no one has an excuse for exploiting another person who bears God's image. Hashtag me too, cannot stand without Genesis 1. This is why murder is a crime of the highest order. That point is made after the flood when God says to Noah, whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed, for in the image of God has God made mankind. To destroy the image of God is a direct offence against God himself. Now, this speaks into some very sensitive topics, especially when it comes to protecting human life, both at the very beginning and at the end. It was sobering recently, wasn't it, when we were told that the number of people in the UK who had died with COVID-19 had exceeded 100,000. Now, I know people debate, you know, what does that figure mean exactly? But however you read it, it's been a brutal and heartbreaking year. And it's right that we feel that, because we understand this, that the value of human life. And yet, in 2019, in England and Wales, there were over 209,000 abortions, a figure that has risen each year over the past few years. And here's the thing, I bet we hardly even thought about it. Now again, I'm well aware that this is a deeply sensitive issue. Maybe that some of us have been affected. We need to remember God's grace and mercy. Abortion is not an unforgivable sin. And we need to be ready to offer that grace and mercy to others, combined with compassion and support at many levels. But we mustn't turn a blind eye to a great evil that is happening in our society. God created every single one of us in his image. And actually, if we understood that, it would affect every single interaction that we have with someone else. The children that we are teaching online or supporting at home, made in God's image. The boss or colleague or client who makes your life difficult, made in God's image. The person who serves you at the supermarket or delivers your groceries, the neighbor who's just moved in, you don't know yet, even the person who makes that marketing call that gets on your nerves, all of them made in God's image. The theologian Francis Schaeffer said that every single interaction that we have with another person, no matter how brief, should leave them with the impression, didn't they treat me well? And we'll do that if we remember that they all bear God's image. We're created by God. We're created in his image. Finally, we're created male and female. Just notice again how that point is highlighted, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Now, it's interesting because when God made the birds and the animals, they were male and female, but it wasn't mentioned there. Why is it underlined here? Because it's fundamental to who we are. God made us male and female. He made us equal, but different. And we'll see how that's underlined further when we get to chapter 2. But I think the striking thing with this point is that I think that if I'd preached this sermon, say, 25 years ago, those here would have thought, well, yes, of course, extremely obvious point to make. But how quickly things have changed. When in December, Hollywood actor Ellen Page announced that she was transgender and henceforth that he would be known as Elliot Page, well, it made the news, but actually it didn't cause much of a stir. It was just the latest in a string of such cases amongst celebrities. But of course, it's not just something that happens out there in Hollywood, where life is always a bit extreme. It's happening to people in our lives, to our friends, most obviously to children in our schools. And the message is that gender is not something that is determined by our bodies, but by our minds. So if I feel a particular gender and it doesn't match the body I'm in, then well, I have the right to decide who I am, and no one else must violate that right. Well, how should we respond to this? Well, first, we've got to remember we're not dealing with the transgender issue, but with precious people made in the image of God who are often living with complex feelings that cause them great distress. Now, we need to pray we'd have the compassion of Jesus in this matter. But we do need to be clear-minded, and the Bible gives us clarity on some key points here. So first, it challenges that idea that we're the ones who get to define who we are. Now, that is a complete assumption in our culture. We live in a kind of I culture, don't we, where I decide everything about me. But no, the Bible says we are created by God, and he has the right to determine who we are and how we should live. It's God's world. He decides, not us. Furthermore, he's created us as physical beings, and we can't ignore that. Over the years, there have been many religions and philosophies that have downgraded the importance of the body, saying, no, that what matters is the soul, the real you inside. But the Bible does not think like that. God made us physical. You're not just a soul. You have a body. And apart from some extremely rare cases, that body is male or female. So if we experience, as some do in a broken world, if we feel differently on the inside, actually what is true of our body is still true of us. And we'll need love and support and encouragement, but we need to hold on to that fact of our creation. God made us male and female. Now, goodness, I'm aware that more than maybe any other sermon I've preached on in the last 10 years, I've touched on some difficult and sensitive issues. I've only had time to flag up what I think are the Bible's most important points on these issues. I'm going to mention some helpful resources over coffee in tomorrow's email. And can I say, if you're struggling or if you have questions, please, please do get in touch. But as we finish, we need to acknowledge that what we've seen today is not the whole story. See, the Bible tells us, by telling us these glorious truths about ourselves, we're created male and female in God's image to rule over the creation as his representatives. And yet it also tells us how that image has been spoiled. It's been marred by our sin. And therefore we experience all kinds of brokenness as a result of that. We don't rule as we should. We don't treat the world or one another as we should. Our bodies and our minds and our hearts are disordered often in this world. And so we praise God for the way that he has acted to restore us to what we should be through Jesus. Jesus, who came into the world as the perfect human being. Jesus, who Paul says is the image of the invisible God. Jesus was the perfect man. And yet he came into the world and experienced the brokenness of our world, especially as he went to the cross to pay the price for our sin. And then, having died for us, Jesus rose again. He rose with his body and was exalted to reign at God's right hand and to send his Holy Spirit, who works to transform us more and more into his likeness. And one day, God promises, that process will be complete when we are raised with him, raised physically to rule with him over the new creation. If we ultimately want to be the people that we are supposed to be, then we need to look to the perfect man. We need to look to Jesus. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we're conscious we need your help so much on these challenging issues. We pray you'd forgive us for our arrogance when we live as though we're the center of your world. Forgive us when we don't treat one another as we should, as those made in your image. Forgive us when we resist your perfect plans for our lives. We pray, Father, you'd help us to trust you and to trust your ways, to be thankful for all that you give us. We pray that we would treat others as we should, as those who bear your image. We pray we'd live in your world for your glory, and help us to trust you in the things that we find hard. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God made us, and so we praise him. Everything he's made, he's made to praise him. We praise him. This final song reminds us for creating us, and then, as Julian's just been reminding us, for his rescue of us as well from the mess we've got ourselves into, and for the wonderful hope verse 4 reminds us of what is to come too. Let's listen to this great song together.
Creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise him, hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let your things that create up last and worship him in humbleness. Oh, praise him, hallelujah. Praise, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All are redeemed, washed by his blood. Come and rejoice in his great love. Yeah. shall return in power to reign. Heaven and earth will join to say, oh, praise Him.
Well, that's pretty much the end of our service this morning. Thanks again for coming and joining us. Please, as I said at the beginning, do stay in your seats until Michael and Rose give you the nod to go. And then we do have to ask everyone just to be on their way. We're not allowed to stick around outside afterwards and talk, although it would be odd to completely ignore one another as people head back to cars in the Village Hall car park. So do take the chance to catch up quickly then. And don't forget, if we have our Zoom coffee at 11:30, so time to get home, get a hot drink, and then do tune in for the Zoom coffee then. Let me lead us in a final prayer, though. Let's pray as we finish. Now may the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, who never faints or grows weary, may this God increase and renew our strength, so we may go on walking faithfully with Him, whatever this next week holds. Amen.